all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I'm thankful to be alive. And God watched over me last night when I lay down and slumbered. Watched over my children, my family, all well as far as I know. And I know it's because of Him. How many of you can say that? And so we're thankful this morning that we are able to come in this place to worship. We pray you've come and you allow yourself to put the things of your concerns outside and focus on your God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are now live streaming, as I understand it, on Facebook and YouTube. And we are, for the first time, able to do some things we have never done before from this location. But we thank God and we know that it's because of Him He made that possible. So if you're listening to us on YouTube or Internet, Facebook will be our conference call. You too are welcome to our call. And to those who may not be members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests. You are the VIP of our audience, and we believe in Churches of Christ that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. What you're experiencing this morning is a New Testament pattern of worship where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments or music. We will pray and men will lead the services, as you've noticed. We take the Lord's Supper not on Easter Sunday. Let me pause right there and let you know my Easter sermon is this short. Easter is not for Christians. That was Judaism. That was called the Passover. When God passed over them in Exodus. None of us are there. We're Christian. We recognize Jesus. And His only command to us was, this you do in remembrance of Him. So the first day of the week was the day of resurrection. That's why we worship on what we call Sunday. And we just commemorated and kept the command that Christians are to keep. And just for a common sense practice thought, God would never use a bunny rabbit laying colored chicken eggs to represent His Son who died for the saints, save this world. And it's a shame what man has promoted and taught. And more shameful is people don't read. If you just read the Bible, you notice that this Easter egg thing has nothing to do with God. Not at all. So let's worship Him. And New Testament pattern is just that. We take collection. We don't tithe in Churches of Christ. I don't teach it, at least some may. But we're going to preach the word this morning. That's what we're doing. So if you're on the call today and you're listening or you're listening to us, we pray you will receive with meekness God's engrafted word for it's able to save your soul. And so here we are this morning. I've been doing a series called Under the Juniper Tree. And for more than 4 weeks now, I've studied this text over and over, and I realize how much it's talking to me personally. And so I hope you would take this as a personal lesson to you and apply it to you. Under the juniper tree, we talk about a man of God named Elijah. In part one, under the juniper tree, I recap you from chapter 16, where the Bible says that Elijah's life was the altar due to the sins of the people, not something he'd done on his own. We learned God's people had provoked God to anger because they had walked the way of Jeroboam and sinned. In chapter 17, we looked at God told Elijah to go and hide him by himself alone because he would send no rain and a famine and a drought would come to the land of the people and his man Elijah would suffer as a result. And he goes into isolation or hiding. God took care of Elijah by sending during the drought, during the famine, rain, commanded ravens and told him to sit by a brook where water would flow. And the birds then, as commanded by God, would take care of his man. And Elijah to understand all that's going on in his life at this point. He don't understand everything's happening to him. And I have related that to us as a return back to worship. That God sent us somewhere. He sent us and isolated us in our homes. Where we were in hiding. But God, the whole time this was going on was all part of His plan to send a pandemic to this world. And this world took notice that God was in control. God then sent Elijah, the brook dried up. And then we learn that God sends him to a widow. And the widow was down to her last drop of water, last piece of bread. And God, and Elijah told the widow, give me water, give me bread. And she said, we don't have much to live on. But Elijah said, serve me first, and then take God will take care of you and your son. And sure enough, God blessed the water and blessed the cake that he had. And the widow and her son, it was plentiful throughout the whole famine. And in the midst of all of that, the widow's son was near death and he died. And God used his man's servant once again to prove he was God. And he raised him from the dead. And the Bible records that his soul came back within him. That's chapter 16 and 17. And then chapter 18, part 2, as we looked at the juniper tree. In chapter 18, after 3.5 years of suffering, all of being isolated, being all alone in his own world, in hiding, the Lord sends Elijah to meet Ahab and give challenge to the other gods that Israel had started serving called Baal. I want you to know that in the last 3.5 years, Elijah had not had a public assembly. He had not attended assembly with Israel for over 3.5 years. He was all alone. It was just between him and his God. And I say to you, for the last 3.5 years, 2 years for some, and I'll apply to 3.5 in a minute, that God has been doing something in the lives of people all across this world. In the churches of Christ, many have brought attention to the fact that we must assemble in the importance of assembly. In the importance of relationships with God and relationship with His people and to hear His word proclaimed in public settings. Here's Elijah had experienced this. No public worship. He is set by himself. However, the whole time God was doing his business in the world because God had a mission for the world and for Ahab and Jezebel to know he was God because Israel people had left God. And I have contended the whole time of this pandemic that God had been using it to restore the Church of Christ back to truth. Amen, somebody. I still contend it could be one of the greatest, and may will always, we'll never know totally, but it'll be one of the greatest restorations since the first century. Where many had to listen to God through his phone lines, through TV lines. They stayed at home. They didn't know what was going on. Many of them wasn't coming to the building. Many of them didn't go to nowhere to worship. But when we started offering it through the phone line, God was doing some things in the world, but he was bringing his people home as well through the phone. I'm saying that. I'm just saying. You can't listen to God 2 years on the phone and not be affected. I'm just saying. This is what Brother Bruce said. He told Elijah when he stood for the public, some he told them to prepare a sacrifice. And he called on Baal. And he said, whichever one come and answer. And God answered. And he licked up the water from the altar that he set up. Elijah asked, how long would they halt between two opinions? And maybe that's the problem of this world today, that we have, many have halted between the opinion with whether God is still on the throne or he's not. But I contend as a man of God that God is still on his throne. He never left the throne. And he's been caring for us even though we were going through some things. God has been taking care of his people. Elijah chose the people, told them to choose whom they're going to serve. Elijah was a prophet of God fighting for God against pagan worship. And he felt, or he thought, after 3.5 years, he was the last man standing. There was no other prophets of God available, he thought. So in part one, in essence, recap, we learn We can suffer because of the sins of the world, not necessarily because of something we've all done wrong. None of us deserve to have to wear the mask and clean our hands and run from a pandemic. We didn't ask for that. We didn't ask for COVID. It wasn't because we, the Christians, those who have been faithful to God, it's not because we done something wrong, necessarily. But maybe God, some of God's people left him and started serving Baal, and God is tired of it. It angered him. That's what the Bible said. It provoked him to anger. Israel did. And maybe the Church of Christ that have left the basic truth of what you're experiencing this morning have gone to beatbox and bass mic and praise dance, everything other than simple New Testament pattern of worship. Maybe God is angry with that issue. Perhaps God can send drought. You know, we know God can send drought and even a pandemic as I applied it to us. God can send us in hiding and still take care of our needs. God can be caring for us and we can lose sight of our blessings and start taking for granted those blessings, start focusing on the negativity of the situation that God has placed us in. And that's what many people I know, I've noticed, I've talked to them, I've heard them say it, many Christians could not see nothing positive coming from what God was doing in this world. And sometimes we forget, doing all these things that are going on, God still gave us water to drink. God still gave us food in our refrigerators. God still took care of our children. We still had air to breathe. God still was blessing his children, but some of his children couldn't see the good. This is Brother Brooks preaching. Now, I haven't preached like this in some time, I don't know how I'm going to do. What I mean by that is that whatever I do, I do. I think. I've been talking on the phone so much, sometimes I want to just keep talking. But then I get that old fire in me like Jeremiah. You don't want to say something, you know. I like to hear amens, because I couldn't hear nothing. I'm like, bro, couldn't hear nothing but me talking. Somebody say amen for me right about now. I know I think I'm on track here with something that you need to take personal. As children of God, we have to accept that suffering will come to us in this life, and not because we've done something wrong, but because God has something to do. God has somebody's attention to get. But the question is, whose attention did he get? Did he get your attention? Did he get my attention? I can tell you and speak for me, and I'm asking everybody to kind of take it personal. Because then under the Judas Tree part 2, I point out how Elijah lost sight of all God had done for him. Over a 3.5 year period, Elijah forgot about the ravens who gave him the water. He forgot about the brook. He forgot about the widow. He forgot about the water. He forgot about the cake. He forgot all these things because of his situation changing. My question to all of us, and I'll say it for me personally, exactly 3.5 years ago, the first thing that sent me into hiding was the death of my wife. And somebody said, well, that's why we're here about you. Let me say something about your preacher. We are human. There's a time when you have to minister to me. I couldn't minister to myself. And some have held it against me. Some have said negative things about that. That hurts. But I'm sure Elijah was hurt too. 3.5 years exactly as I studied this, I said, Tommy, this is about you. You think you're strong. You can handle whatever comes in your life. But there'll be times when you just, God sits you down and just you and him can get through the situation. And then he took me out of the pulpit, sent me home, to wait till he finished doing what he was going to do with the pandemic. He made me preach to thousands through a phone line that had never listened to me before. God allowed me to conduct a gospel meeting nationwide, worldwide, to baptize hundreds of people. But people had negative things to say. God let us do things that we've never done and we never will do. I introduced a system to deal with racism without ever saying anything. I plastered all over the world faces of blacks, white, Hispanics, all nationalities through a conference call. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Church of Christ members were brought together, something like we've never seen before. Just seeing what God can do when he's in your home. So then, that 2.5 year period, here we come back and I'm in 1 Kings 19 looking at Elijah and something happens to me. And I hope it happens to you. That God will speak to you through his word. And I don't know where you are in your long. I don't know how long you've been where you are. I don't know what you've been going on for the last 3.5 years, the last 2 years, what the situation may be. But I challenge each of you to look over the last 2-3 years and see what happened, what has changed in your life. Think of all the things that changed your life due to the pandemic and due to all that's happened. Let me ask some questions. Does it seem like you've been hiding in the lockdown? How y'all like the mask wearing? We can't even recognize. You got to see the eyes. You remember the eyes? Some of you, I don't even remember you because I can't see your face no more. Something has changed, isn't it? Some things have changed in all of our lives because of this. Did you suffer anything during the time? Did you grow weary? Did you lose loved ones? Do you feel isolated? Do you feel suffocated? Do you feel like you were just by yourself and you missed the people and you just say, man, what's going on? Why I can't go to the store? Why I got to wipe my hands? Why I can't just open the door? Why I can't just take my mask off? Because God was working in this world. Did it cause you to worry? Did it cause you to wonder what is happening? Did God interrupt your life and give you a new normal? I'm saying, don't think about what I just said and or trying to take you in my situation because yours ain't mine. But did it happen to you? Were you able to stay positive during the negative? Should you see good during the bad? Did God flood this building with water? Did that just accidentally happen? Or did God allow it? Do we see the good that he wiped out some things, a system that was a 50-year-old sound system and gave us a brand new one that was insured? And now he has given us the opportunity that we hadn't had to sit down for a while. We wouldn't have had the new building, the new seats, the new sound system. We wouldn't be on YouTube. We wouldn't be on Facebook. But do we see the good in that? But Paul said all things work together for good to them that love God. But what about in your life? Did God interrupt your new normal? In 1 Kings chapter 19 in part 3, of this, I'm not going to rush this study either. I just want to say that. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah has defeated Baal. Ahab tells Jezebel that what Elijah had done, he had destroyed Baal's prophets.
With a sword. And Jezebel sent
in chapter 19, verse 1, and Jezebel
sent a messenger unto Elijah.
Verse 2.
Saying.
So Jezebel, here is Elijah. He found out of hiding. He's done God's will. He's fought Baal. God demonstrated his power and licked up the water. And Jezebel sends a messenger unto God's man.
So let the gods do to me.
He said, let the gods do to me.
And more also. If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.
So Jezebel blessed and threatens his life. I'm going to kill you just like you did Baal's prophets.
And when he saw that.
Now when he saw that, he
arose.
Rose.
And he went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there.
Listen to him.
But.
Hold on. He is now threatened by Jezebel, who had taken out the prophets of God. Obadiah had been and hid some of them in caves. Elijah believed he's the only one left. And she just threatened him. But see, my question is, Elijah, if God commanded the brooks, I mean the ravens to give you water. If God was the one who sent you to the widow and you had water and food during the drought, if God was the one who demonstrated he was God and Israel stood up and said, the Lord, he is God, after he licked up the water, why are you running from Jezebel? See, this is my point, is that sometimes we get in situations where we simply forget who watched over us in every situation. And maybe it's cancer in your body. Maybe it's dialysis. Maybe it's marital problems. Maybe it's relationship problems. Maybe it's church issues. But when things were good, who took care of you? So that things are not good now. You ought to run. You're running from Jezebel, Elijah. And the same God that took care of you back then, don't you think he's big enough to take care of Jezebel? But then he said he saw, he rode, he went for his life. But he himself went a day's journey
into the wilderness and came and sat down.
Now he's out in the wilderness. Where's my title come from? Under this juniper tree. Here he is again by himself. Did the work of the Lord. Then this threat comes and he runs and sat down on a tree. And then he requested for himself
that he might die.
Now, this is not suicide.
And said,
he said,
it is enough.
He asked God to take my life.
Oh, Lord, take away my life.
Some people refer to this as suicide. It's not suicide.
Well, I'm not better than my father.
He just asked, Lord, you get to a point where you get old or you get tired of life situations. You've heard people say, I'm just tired. I'm tired of the needles. I'm tired of the medicine. I'm tired of I heard my mother say that in her golden years. And some people just tired, and death is the rest. And that's kind of where he was at, I think, don't you? Man, 3.5 years I've been doing this, running, trying to get water, trying to do this, trying to get these folk to come back to you, Lord. And now I done sold them. You still God. And then this Jezebel will come. Now she's going to try to kill me. I know, Elijah. But he said he lay and slept on a juniper tree.
Behold, then an angel
touched
him.
God didn't hold it against him because he was struggling with what was going on in his life. And that's why I say, as you take it personal, God is not holding it against God. We're kind of struggling why things are happening the way they are. So I said, we're not questioning God, but you're struggling in your mind. Why now? Why all of this? Can y'all take this personal? Any of you struggling right now with anything? Are you struggling with the situations that you found yourself in? And you just look on there, you said, now, the Bible says here that he said he was tired, and God said, by said, behold, an angel touched him.
And said to him, arise and eat.
Say, God, you ever heard, you felt the touch of God when he said, get up and go eat. Get up. I know you're struggling, but you can still make it. We can do all things, y'all, through school, Christ, which strengthens us. My question is, anybody just need to hear the word of the Lord this morning? That you just need to get up and go on your way. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked. God said, I know you're discouraged. I know you've been fighting. I know you're tired. But it's not your time yet, Elijah. I got more work for you to be done. And God is, He gonna take us when it's our time. We might well accept that. When it's time to go, it's time to go. Ain't nothing we can do about it. But when we are here, we ought to be doing everything we can to give God some glory. And He looked. There was a bake of coal.
And a cruse of water.
Water
in his head.
And bread.
And he did eat and drink and laid him down again.
It's always the word of God, water and bread. He blessed those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Amen. And God has been feeding us, y'all. I've been studying more than I ever studied before. Amen. What are you saying, brother? I'm still talking personal, but you need to talk personal. Amen. Can you see I've heard the word of God more than I've heard the last 10 years? I have had to go to the scripture for many occasions now. I have listened on the call for the last 3 years, 2.5 years, and I never was at the building but about once a month. See, there's a way God gets His word to us. So then he looked. He got up and drank, and he laid him down again. And verse 7 says,
Lord
again.
Came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.
Sometimes you try to get up and you're just weak. You say, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And you find yourself being okay. You're making it. And then the Bible says, God come back the second time to him. Touched him. And the book says, God told him the same thing. Arise and
eat.
Why?
Because the journey is too great.
Brothers and sisters, this journey we're on in life. Now listen carefully. It's too long to go without God's word feeding our souls. This journey is too great. Because God is saying to us, and he said to Elijah, you got to eat, nourish yourself. You know what I'm saying? The way we're going to grow in this world is to eat of the blood. I mean, eat of God's word and hunger and thirst after the bread of life. That's what's going to get us through life, y'all. And then he rose and did eat.
And then
notice
eat,
he's still obedient.
And drink.
Even though he's discouraged.
And went in the strength of the meat 40 days.
And God said, I give you enough to make it. See, sometimes we get greedy. But God gives us enough to make it through some situations, don't he? Man, he gave him enough to make 40 days from one little piece of bread and water. God said, that's sustain you 40 days and 40 nights. Just a little bit of God's word will get you through a whole lot of situations. I can hear my Savior calling, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. I don't need the whole Bible. I hear God saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can hear God saying, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I hear God saying, you my child, you are inherited in salvation because you're obedient to the gospel. I'm going to give you salvation. I'll give you the truth. It's in the book. I can hear God saying, Brooks, some things I'm going to do to make you change. You ever thought about that? Amen. I don't believe I'll ever be the same preacher before. The juniper tree. You may never be the same before you sit down under the juniper tree. It may be that God is saying to you things must change. It's depending on how you take it. Positive or what the other way? Negative. And then verse 9.
And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him.
Now notice, he gets it up there to get up, and then so he goes, and guess what? He leaves the tree, Brother Elder. Go get in a cave. This is the same man. See, sometimes we leave one situation and call ourselves serving God, but then we go back into our own way of living. our own situation. And he says,
the word of the Lord came to him.
God came to him. Maybe he's coming to you this morning through this message. What you doing?
And he said unto him,
why are you back in the cave, Elijah?
What thou wast thou doing?
Is God questioning you this morning through this message? What is he doing through the message from me? What is he saying to you? What is going on in your life? Is God questioning you why you thought he had left you? Is God questioning you? Did you think when the COVID came, I wasn't still your God? Did you think when I sent you home, I didn't have something to do with it? But go back in the cave and start thinking about it again. He said, I know why I'm here, God. I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken their covenant, thrown down their altar, slain that prophet with sword. I'm the only one left. Elijah basically says,
and they seek my life to take it away.
You know, brothers and sisters, if we had to answer God, you know, we live in a world where it seems no one wants to do right. We live in a world of violence, killings, murderers, wars now. We live in a world where people are stealing, killing, rape innocent, vulnerable people at a time of a national disaster. A national pandemic. Everything we see on TV seems to be negative. Members of the church negative. Little positive things going on in our life. It's so much easier to hear the wrong and hear the bad and see the good, or to see the wrong and not see the good, or hear the positive, negative, not see the positive. We live in a world where they want us to marry men to women and women to women, and they're trying to force that in the church. It's not going to happen. I don't care what they say, I'm not doing it. Amen. We live in a time when they want to send our little children, 4, 5, 6 years old, to school and tell them, just because you have a female gender or a male gender, a genitality, you are not, that don't mean you're a girl because you're a girl. Parts. It doesn't mean you're a boy because you got a boy parts. They want them to send them to our school and tell them, no, I'm going to say this, that God made them male and female. Amen. Amen. This is not God's doing. But it's something that's going to anger God. It's abomination what we're seeing on in this world. I see why God would send us to home. And then as I close, he said, go forth and stand up on the mountain before the Lord.
And behold,
told him to get out of that cave. Notice what the Lord passed by.
And a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord.
But the Lord was not in the wind.
And after the wind, an earthquake.
But the Lord was not in there.
And after the earthquake, a fire.
And the Lord was not
in the fire.
So the Lord wasn't in the wind. The Lord wasn't in the fire. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. But everything affected Elijah. The strong winds are going to affect our lives. There's going to be downpours of sins and sorrows or sorrow. Maybe you've lost someone. Maybe you're going through a whole lot of things. There's a whole lot of wind, a whole lot of earthquakes in your life. And maybe the rain is showering down on you. And you don't know how you're going to make it. But the Bible says the Lord wasn't in the wind, Elijah. The wind can't save you. The Lord wasn't in the fire that was burning you, Elijah. And the Lord is not in the earthquake because the wind was obeying God. The fire had to obey God. The earthquake to come had to obey God. And for Elijah to get up and go, he's going to have to obey God. And that's what the book says. After the earthquake, the Lord spoke to him.
After the fire,
he said,
a small voice.
There it comes.
And it was so.
The whisper of the Lord.
When Elijah heard
came
it,
to the ear of Elijah.
And he wrapped his face in the mantle.
And Elijah realized that God was speaking to him.
And stood in the entering of the cave.
And I'm saying this morning, God is speaking to all of us through the ears of the hearer. For God's word never comes back void. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the full voice of this message is coming to your ears because God done sent the fire to you and you didn't move. God sent the earthquake and you didn't move. And now God sent some fire to you. And then this morning, he speaks through his word. A still small voice. I close. If you read on, you'll find out that God said to him in 1818, I just to let you know, Elijah, I have left 7,000 in Israel.
All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him.
God told Elijah, even when you thought I wasn't there, even when you thought you was by yourself, you wasn't alone. Y'all, we're not alone. No, never alone. And I want to know this morning, who in their situation just need to hear the voice of God this morning. And God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is calling. Come to me, come. I stand at your door and knock, if you'll just hear my voice. I'll open and come in and sup with you. And God so loved us through the voice of God, he sends his only begotten Son. And his Son comes to the world to live among men. And they were brutally beat him with a whip, put a crown of thorns on God's Son's head, march him to Calvary. Some tongues, they call it Golgotha, the place of the skull. But it don't matter whether you call it Golgotha, Calvary, or the place of the skull. It was on a hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, God's Son was lifted up between the twilights of two worlds. And God has sent a blood-stained cross. The red cross that would save the world hung between those two thieves. It was red because the Revelator let us know that his vesture was dipped in blood. And all they could see was a mangled face of the Savior and a vesture, a cloak that they had took off of him. It was nothing but red. It was God's red cross. As Putin took over Ukraine, the red cross went in to save the people. As the devil tried to take over the world, God got a red cross system. Where his Son shed his blood, and after he shed that blood, they buried him. Early on Sunday morning, he rolled with all power. He says, go into the world and tell them about the red cross. He that believeth and is baptized in the blood of Jesus shall be saved. And then the Lord will add you to his only church you read about in the Bible, and that is the church of Christ. And for that, I don't apologize. Because there's only a few of us. It was Baal. It was Elijah and 7,000. But hundreds of thousands had died and left God. But some of us still holding to the truth. And we're going to keep doing it. If you're here today and you've been under the juniper tree, I want you to come home by coming to the front to have baptism if you need baptism. If you need to let the Lord in your life and repent of your sin, confess your fault. Ask God, or just thank you, God, for being so good. I didn't see the good you've done in my life. And you may want to make that confession, and you want to make a prayer request, a card to come out to you, write it on the card. If you're on the call, hit 5-star on your phone. If you want to be baptized, we'll make arrangements for you to be baptized while you're here, or we'll make arrangements for you to be baptized no matter where you are in our listening audience. And then you go in assembly with the Church of Christ. We're not trying to start a congregation on the internet. That's not us. You need to be a public assistant. And some of those who are still at home now and public assembly is available to you. You ought to come with the saints because that's what they need you. We need each other as families need each other. Amen. I beg you to come to the Lord this morning. Come to him. Come back to his blood. He'll hide you in his blood through baptism. He'll hide you in his blood. As you walk in the light, he's in the light. That blood will cleanse you. If you're a Christian, make the confession and come home. Come out the cave and start serving God again. If you're on the call, if you're listening to our listening audience, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we respond. Or go to our website, highlightcoc.net. Everything's there for you. We're here to help you, no matter where you are, listening for this moment. Please, everyone stand. Let's be singing. Let's be praying. For those who want to come be baptized, you start walking to the front. For those who need prayer, make that known. As together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win?
If you need to come to
there's
the Lord, come
wonderful
to you.
Power in the blood.
Don't put it off. Come
there
to
is power in the working power in the blood.
Of the Lamb.
There is power,
wonder-working
power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
God in your life. Let
would
your life.
You be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood.
Great audience. Thank you so very much.